Ramsey TV.
Doesn't it seem to you that sometimes life is just so messy? It's so tattered. The ends are so frayed. There are so few congruent things. I guess a nice way to say it is, rarely do things seem to go right. And even more rarely do things go smoothly. I don't think I'm the only one noticing these things. Well, did you ever consider that the life of Christ was also messy? Welcome to MZTV. I'm Martin Zender, your host, and to another scriptural extravaganza. Yeah, the way life is that sometimes it seems so random and so chaotic that you are challenged. I mean, God is daring you to believe that everything has a divine purpose. It's a challenge to faith, as it's meant to be. It's meant to be a challenge to faith. Like, how dare you believe that there's a mind behind all these, what we would call accidents. Of course, there's no such thing as an accident. I see it in my work all the time. I strive for excellence when I typeset my books or I design a cover. But there's always something not quite right. There's always something that seems off. It's like, Lord, can't I ever get everything exactly right? And the Lord says, no, you can't. Because I don't want you to get everything right. Why not? If I were God. Yeah, well, I'm going to have us look at the life of Christ. A few instances, you only need a few, you can think of many more. In the life of Christ, of all people, you would think that everything would go smoothly for Christ. Because here was one without sin. He's without sin. But what I'm about to tell you is that being a perfect person, i.e. a sinless person, i.e. Christ, and being a failed, flawed person like yourself, that doesn't play into the mix of having a neat, clean, and square life. It doesn't. So that should comfort you, because what this tells you is it's not your fault that things are going shittily. No, it's not your fault. Things went shittily for Christ while he was on the earth. Was it his fault? No, of course, Mark. No, it's terrible. You can't even think it was possibly his fault. All right. I'm telling you it's not your fault either. And I'm telling you that the common denominator is design. Because if we can see design with Christ, then we can see it with us. Because God's doing the same thing to us that he did with Christ, i.e. perfecting us via trial. So the 10 lepers, I just thought of these examples off the top of my head. Jesus heals 10 lepers, and only one of them came back to thank him. I mean, he deserved to have every one of those lepers. I mean, they were cured instantly. No salves, no balms, no aloe vera, no bathing programs, with coal tar or anything like that. No follow-up appointments. No, he just healed them instantly. And they go running off, and only one guy, this seems incredible to me, only one guy comes back to thank him. Jesus says very sarcastically, didn't I cure 10 lepers? Yes, it seems to me that you did, sir. Well, where are the other 9? That's a great question. Yes, a great question. Don't you think Jesus went home disappointed? Hell yes, he went home disappointed. You can hear the disappointment in his voice. Didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? It's like he's frustrated. This was not a neat thing. If it was neat, if it was clean, if it was square, all the lepers would have come back and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. But no, Jesus is rolling his eyes. Why? Why? That's what he has to say. One of his favorite disciples, Peter, at the Last Supper, Jesus tells Peter that you are going to deny me 3 times. No, not me. I'm not going to do it. You got the wrong guy. It's like, oh. You know, you would think that after all the miracles they had seen him do, feeding the 5,000, walking on water, this guy walked on water. See, before this, Peter walked on water. You would think that this guy would say, after Jesus says, Peter, before, you know, the rooster crows 3 times, you're going to deny me. Or is it, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows? Either way, Peter should have said, Yep, I don't know how that's possibly going to happen, because there's no way in my mind that I could possibly deny you, but I'm pretty sure it'll happen. So Jesus would have been somewhat comforted by that response, but no. It's almost like Peter should have prefaced his remark with, "How do you know? I'm a loyal fisherman. I'm a loyal follower. I'm a good fisherman. I'm a loyal follower, and I love you. I will never betray you." I mean, it's just, that was ragged. And just when Jesus needed comfort. Then later, he's just looking for some of his friends to stay awake with him during his hour of trial. What do? They fall asleep. Jesus says, "Well, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And I'm freaking disappointed. It didn't work out for him. It did not work out for him. In the relative, it didn't. So don't give me, I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound like I'm impatient, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any talk at this time about, "Well, God's operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will." Of course he is. But I'm talking about ragged in the relative perspective. Even Jesus complained, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, kills the prophets, stones the prophets, kills those who are sent to her. How long do I wish to gather you as a mother hen gathers her brood, but you would not." That's frustrating for him. Didn't work out well. The people he loved killed him, and it hurt. And he went home disappointed a lot of times. Next, Jesus is in the synagogue at Nazareth, his first public appearance, first act, really, on his public ministry. And he says, "I'm here to declare the favorable year of the Lord. I'm here to announce release to the captives. Going to make the blind see. Going to make the lame walk. And I'm going to do a few other things that you'll find out about soon enough." The people of Nazareth were so happy that after his wonderful talk, they tried to throw him off of a cliff. They tried to pitch him off a cliff. I guess they didn't like the examples he gave of Elisha healing one leper out of many lepers, and Elijah visiting one widow during the famine and leaving all the widows out of it. I guess they didn't like that by these examples, Jesus was basically saying, "I'm not an equal opportunity blesser. I only bless a few people." See, that wasn't politically expedient. They wanted him to heal the whole nation, and apparently he was only going to just concentrate on a few Israelites at the time, and we know that to be the fact. He calls out a few. They didn't like it, so they tried to pitch him off the cliff. I'm sure Jesus was saying to himself, "What do I have to do? I announce the favorable year of the Lord." In other words, I'm announcing basically the coming of the kingdom, contingent upon Israel accepting him as their Messiah. And they're so backward, they're so idiotic that they try to kill him. Bad day. Started out as a good day. Turned into a bad day. You ever had that happen to you? My days generally go that way. I mean, just, I'm a morning guy, so the mornings are bright and full of promise. And by nighttime, by this time of day, I'm kind of down. It's like, I don't know, I'm not going to lay my problems on you. Jesus can't even catch a break after his resurrection. After his resurrection, raised from the dead, all the disciples see him except Thomas. And then Thomas says, "I don't even believe he's raised from the dead." He's disappointed even in his immortal body. So he comes to Thomas. You know the drill. "Yeah, put your hand in my side, put your finger in my nail prints and see that it's me." It's like, tch. I would have ended that sentence with, "See that it's me, numbnuts. I told you over and over again, I'm going to raise from the dead." Just like ragged. Ragged and messy. It's messy. The man is sleeping outside at night. Friends are constantly disappointing him. The nation he came to save hates him. You're tempted to call it Murphy's Law. Whatever can go wrong, will go wrong. I'm sorry, but that applies to the life of Christ. Whatever can go wrong, will go wrong. I mean, in the relative. Of course, he goes to the cross. In one way, you can look at that as completely successful, because that's what he came to do. But in another sense, Jesus is not happy about it. We know that from the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay. Christ's life was messy. We find out that we're his sons and we're being brought into similar trials. That includes a messy life. And again, the temptation is to think that it's so messy. It's so, things so don't work. Things so go wrong. That this can't be the divine mind at work. This can't be a master plan. This is a master plan? When I throw a ball of paper into the trash basket and it misses, and the trash basket's 2 feet away, that's the master plan? But if you look at the life of Christ, nobody would argue that that's the master plan. And yet, look at all the mess that Jesus Christ, as a human, wades through every day of his difficult life. And now, I'm encouraging us to look at the messes of our life and to see that it's not an unusual thing. Peter said that at one point. So don't consider it a strange thing that you're going through fiery trials, or that, well, what he should have said to me, Martin, don't consider it a strange thing that no matter how many times you try to throw that wad of paper into a large trash basket that's only 2 feet away, you're going to miss. Don't think it a strange thing when you try to put your pants on in the morning and you trip and fall. Don't think it a strange thing when these fiery trials, because I'm sorry, all those things to me are fiery trials. Added up, they just about break the camel's back. But I tell you this, these things are just as ordered as the trials in the life of Christ. They're just as purposed as the trials in the life of Christ. And there's just as much of a divine mind behind our trials as there was behind the trials of Christ. Nothing's random. Nothing's chaotic. The ragged edges, the ragged seams, the uneven results, the misses, it's all meant to be that way. It's purposed chaos. Because when we're delivered from this land of futility and vanity, I think it's going to feel really good.